test. I see everybody standing for the word. Good morning. Today's scripture is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. And I just want to say that what's on my heart is probably on the heart of everybody within the sound of my voice, and that is we are gathered here this morning in this place in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. I mean, when we got up this morning and started getting ready to church, you know, you may think back of all the things you had on your mind, but I hope that you had Jesus on your mind. That's why we're gathered here this morning. And remember, when we gather in the strong and powerful name of Jesus, we come together as Christian brothers and sisters to sing praises, to pray, and to hear the word. So Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, such a blessing to be in your house. And Lord, I ask your blessings upon the reading and the hearing of your word. Lord, I thank you for the worship experience we've had thus far this morning. Lord, I thank you for Brother Mark and the worship team.
Yes.
And the songs of praises that just lift our hearts. Lord, I thank you for Brother Jason and the depths of passion that he has when he sings praises to you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the prayers from Brother Tom and Brother Joe and Brother Lynn that lift up your word, and all the other prayers that have been silently lifted up this morning, Lord. And now I ask your blessings upon our pastor. Lord, I pray for our pastor every day, and at this time he's gonna bring us the word that you've laid on his heart this morning. And Lord, just be with him now and anoint him beyond belief, Lord. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. Amen. And you know, gosh, after hearing that song, I don't want to preach, really. I just want to head to the well. And you, Mark, if I will submit to you completely and put myself under your management, can you make me sing like that? Would you? That didn't sound like a commitment to me. I'm glad I can't sing like that, because I'd stop preaching. I really would, and start singing to Carolyn. Nothing is impossible, I know. All right, well, I'm really excited about sharing this message with you for this reason. I'm struggling with learning how to do this myself after all these years of trying to follow God and to do what I'm sharing with you to do. And I bet you that every one of you have done what I'm going to share at different times, but not consistently and not constantly and not as a discipline that causes it to become part of the way you think and the way you live your life. But this is a process of being transformed that God has given us for the human being. Now, we are to look so differently and be so different than the world is that people ask us questions about, why are you so joyful? Or how? What have you got that I obviously don't have? Because you seem to be happy all the time. And when you go through difficulties, you don't go through them with a long face. You don't go through them manipulating other people and trying to get something from other people. You go through these difficulties in a quiet trust of God that seems to keep you on a level that I can't kind of reach. Have you ever felt that way? That God has promised us to have a peace that passes understanding, that will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But God is the God of cause and result. In other words, God says, if you do certain things, then I can do certain things for you. But if you don't do certain things, you tie the hands of God so that God's not able. And some people have come to learn by just the knowledge of God that God has given us, and through study and discipline and through trying to put to practice the things that are in this blessed Word of God, they've learned that they absolutely work without fail. Just like the sun coming up in the morning, God has set that in motion. And He has set in the spiritual realm the motions of all the principles and laws that govern our lives in the natural realm and in the supernatural realm of God. That's where faith allows the kingdom of God to flow through our life. And the Bible says that without faith, I don't care how much you think you love God, but the Bible says without faith, it is, what, impossible to even please Him. So you have to learn to do what we're talking about doing today with absolute faith. And so this is the process of being transformed from just being a natural man, a natural woman, into someone that has a supernatural power living in them that changes their life and gives them a life that the Bible calls an abundant life. So Paul says he begs them, literally, that they would learn to do this because of the mercy of God. And I believe the last Sunday that I was here, we talked a great deal about God's mercy. And the more you love the mercy of God, the more that you know that this is what you ought to do. That you should do and live for God without reservation. That you shouldn't hold back anything from Him, but that you should do these two things. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable and pleasing to God. So that's presenting your body. We talked about that last time, but we did not talk about the renewing of your mind. But I need to share a little bit more about the presentation of your body. In the Old Testament, you remember that they had all those sacrifices, but they were never the real thing. They were shadows of the real thing. But the real thing was Christ, who would come later. But through all of those hundreds and really thousands of years that they offered sacrifices, Jesus came and said, you know, sacrifice that you didn't desire. That wasn't ever what God really wanted from the human race. We couldn't give the sacrifice that would pay for our sins. But Jesus Christ came and made an acceptable sacrifice to God that was accepted by God, that paid for all of our sins. It actually paid for Ruth's sins. And all of us paid for in one act. Jesus Christ paid for it all. It's appropriated for us by faith in Him. The Bible says, and I love the song that we sang, brother, this morning about a dead man's name above my grave. I mean, that's a perfect way of stating Galatians 2:20. I am crucified, dead with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I. It is Christ that's living inside of me. And the life that I'm now living in the flesh, in this physical existence, I live how? By faith in who? The Son of God, who already died for me and who now is inside of me ready to live for me. And so it is no longer I, but Christ. When the Apostle Paul was ready to die, he said, for me to live one more day is Christ. What he was saying is, the Apostle Paul's gone. It's Christ in him that is the real deal. And so you learn to experience this, because how many of you know that you're going to heaven, but you feel like you're in hell? How many of you have ever experienced that? Let me see your hands, and don't sit there and just lie and hold back on me. Okay, almost everybody. Some people get up in the morning, they're depressed. They go to bed, they're depressed. They go to work, they're depressed. That's not the clue, wake-up call. That's not Christ living in you. you could, I don't care what the circumstances of your life are, if Christ is living in you, you're learning how to let him be released through you, then life changes. And the Bible says, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature, and old things are passing away. Look, behold, all things are becoming new. So when we live in this life of letting Christ radiate through us and live through us, we have a different experience. I can tell you it's different because I've lived both ways. And even now, I know that all I have to do, even though I've tasted of the Word of God and the powers that are to come and that Christ has done great things through me, I know that I can backslide, grab my life back, start worrying and stop trusting, and I'll have the same old experiences that any other person has in the natural realm. Are you with me with this and understanding where we're going? What you've got to do is do something with your body and do something with your mind that God says is to him a living sacrifice, what he's always wanted from us. How many of you know that God is not impressed with religious people? He's not. He's not impressed at all with people with rules and regulations and all kinds of stuff that they've made up, traditions that they have. He's not impressed with that. He's impressed with a person who is a living sacrifice, who presents their body to him and their mind to him, so that God can work through and live through their lives. And so that's what I'm explaining today. Now, the Bible says to present your body as a living sacrifice. And as you do this, there are some things that you have to do. You know, our body, it would be helpful to understand what the purpose of your physical body is. You don't, an angel doesn't have a physical body like you do. An angel lives in a realm that's invisible to us. Spirits live in an invisible realm, although they make manifestations in your life. How many of you have never seen the devil with your eyes, but you have seen him? And you saw him where? Probably in the life of someone else. You heard him in the voice of someone else. You saw the devil and you heard the devil in the life of someone else. You say, why, I hang around Christian folks all the time. Surely I would never see the devil in a Christian. There's Peter talking to Jesus. Jesus does some teaching, and Peter takes him by the hand, takes him off to the side, and starts rebuking Jesus. And said, no, Lord, this is not the way it's going to be. Because it's not going to be that way to Peter, because Peter didn't want it to be that way. And so what did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, get behind me. Satan, get behind me. He spoke to Peter, but he addressed Satan, who was influencing what was coming out of Peter's mouth. So your body is meant. How many of you know your body is not just meant for the catfish buffets? I tried that for 10 years, and I hadn't gotten over it yet. Your body is not to get all the enjoyment out of it that you can get. Young people today in the immoral society in which we live think the body is all about getting sensual, sexual satisfaction from. That you turn on the TV, you look on the side, that's what's being offered. That's what's being said. Get all you can out of your physical body. I want to tell you that's not the purpose of your physical body. Your body is not, the Bible says, for fornication. It doesn't mean that you can't have sex in the right place, in a marriage situation which God has ordained. But outside of that, it's wrong for you. It's going to hurt you. As a matter of fact, everything God has said in the law of God, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is not to hurt you. How many of you know that? It's to do what? It's to help you. If you follow what God has said, you'd find great satisfaction in life, great opportunities in life, because everything that God has done for you, it's for your good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. No good thing will he withhold from those who will walk uprightly. Uprightly how? The way they figure it out or the way this says it is? It's either the way you figure it out or it's either the way that God's figured it out about life. And so we have a clear understanding of what God says works for humanity. But you have got to present your bodies to God. I used to talk to someone, and they were rarely in church. They were out doing a lot of other things, and they'd say to me, "Well, you know, James, I didn't show up Sunday. I know, and I hadn't been there in a while, but I was with you in spirit." I'd say, "Thank you, brother, but I would prefer to have your eyeballs looking back at me when I'm preaching and to see you there, because your body carries your spirit. You don't send your body one place and your spirit goes another. The Bible says, what? Do you not know that your body is, can you help me with this? A temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. And you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's." Now, so what you do with your body is so important, because it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know, you have to talk to people about this. They need to have to understand. The reason more people do not experience the power of God and the love of God is because they haven't done what I'm trying to get you to do today. And I'll tell you that you will never experience the power and the love of God to the depths that He wants you to until you give yourself, your physical body, present it to God, so that your body could be where it needs to be, your body could be doing what it needs to do, and your body can be expressing what it needs to express. The body is not for fornication, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7. It says it is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. What this means is this, is that God wants us, you know, like, I just look out at our church family. We were in a different church Sunday, and I know those were nice people, but I don't think they were nearly nice as you. And I know they probably loved me and Carolyn. I'm sure they loved Carolyn, but I didn't really feel it that much. And Carolyn said, "Does it feel like that we're in the wrong place almost?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm getting that feeling, because they don't know us, and they'd love us if they knew us, I hope, you know. But they don't, they're not really receiving us. But as soon as we come back home to you guys, I feel your love." How do I feel it? I would not feel it if you were not here, because it's your spirit inside of you that conveys through your eyes and in your voice and in the touch of your hands that you love. You see, God needs your body. He cannot show the love of God to the world without your physical body. That's why it's so important. Your body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for your body. Now, what that means, the second part of that, the Lord is for the body, is this, is that when your body is being presented to God as a living sacrifice, God can do for your body what He really wants to do for your body. The Bible says, "Do you not know this, that the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, that lives in you, will also quicken your mortal," can you finish this, "your mortal body." He says, "I can touch your body." And when you're anointed from God to do things, I mean, it's like God is working through you. I can't tell you the times. Can you, you know, if you go to the hospital, I remember Tanya and Rick's testimonies of the people that came to the hospital. And, you know, when they come to the hospital, I mean, they could do more than they, even though they can pray for you, they can do a whole lot more when they show up there, right? And when they, and sometimes your heart was just went out, because there comes God walking in the body of someone who can minister in the name of Jesus to them. Do you see what this, how powerful this is? That when you really start giving your life as a your body to God, then God can guide you. But if you don't do this, He can't guide you. When He says, "What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, and you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. Therefore," He says, "glorify God in your body, which is God's." And then He says, "If any man defile the body, him God will defile." That's what how the King James puts it. What it means is this. If you look up a literal of the word defile, it means wasted. If you waste your body at the catfish buffets, like I'm probably going to waste a little bit this week sometime or another, but if you waste your body on lesser things, your body will be wasted. You will do to yourself by not letting God use you. I don't think this is getting through, so you need to talk to me and ask questions if it's not. If you don't let God use your physical body, your body will not really get in life all that it needs. And God will not be able to do in your physical body what he wants to. If we subject our physical body to poisons and things that hurt us, and we know they're wrong and we know we shouldn't do that, we're wasting our body. Because our body was not to do those things. Our body, every addiction that the body acquires, God, that body wasn't for that addiction. You need to get rid of it. Get rid of any addictive thing in your life because your body was not for that. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, tobacco, pot, or whatever it is that addicts you, your body is not to be addicted. Your body is to be addicted to God. Your body is for God. Is this getting through, John? Oh, okay, good. So we're understanding what he says. So he says, I beseech you, if you really want to experience the power of the indwelling Christ that's inside of you, give your body to God. Give it to him as a living sacrifice. When you do, that body becomes holy. That means separated unto the purpose for which it was created. And I want to tell you, the most powerful thing to me is to think, now you could become a great athlete without God's help. You could become a great athlete and develop athletic powers and abilities just through your own discipline and things like that, and unbelievers do it all the time. But you cannot develop a godliness without doing this. You cannot develop the kind of experience that somebody says, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God there. You cannot exude the spirit or godliness without God working through you. And he will not work through you unless you present your body to him as a sacrifice. I can't tell you at times when I was tired and tuckered out, and I didn't want to do anything else. And I'd say, I'm going home and I'm not going to do nothing else. And somebody calls and asks me to do something almost every time. Has that ever happened to you? And then you can make a decision. Am I going to use my body to do what this message is, or am I going to go home and do what I want to do with my body and take a rest and that kind of thing? And a lot of times I have made myself go and do that which I really didn't want to do. And the moment I began to do it, energy began to flow in my body. And my body was for the Lord. And the Lord was for my body. And he began to give me energy. How many of you Wednesday night, and those of you who come on Wednesday night on a regular basis, know that sometimes you just get tuckered out and you think, I don't feel like going to church tonight. I'm just going to stay home. You stay home and you don't feel better. All right. You're tuckered out. It's Wednesday night. You're subject to, and so you say, I'm so tired, I'm not going to church. And then something bothers you about that. Something worries you about that. And then you decide, I'm going to go. You drive up there tiredly. You get in the door, but all of a sudden you're full of energy again. All of a sudden you're renewed again. This is God being for the body, anointing the body. If the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that spirit can also quicken, bring to life, energize your mortal body. So what I'm saying is we'll be healthier if you do this. You'll be happier if you do this. You'll have more energy if you do this. And you'll find a power flowing through you that's more than you. And I want to tell you, the greatest thing that I've experienced in my life is not some of these addictive powers that I've had in the past in my life, but the power of the Holy Spirit working through me. That's the greatest energy, greatest joy, greatest sense of satisfaction that I've ever had. And I've seen God do things that I can never do, but he somehow used me to do it. I remember a couple years ago, they go to Nettleton Baptist Church, and they couldn't have a child. And so they were coming to me because they were always fighting all the time. And they were not fighting because they couldn't have a child. They were not coming because they couldn't have a child. They were coming because they were fighting all the time because they were both unhappy because they both wanted to have a child, and one was kind of blaming the other and that sort of thing. And so we just met with them for two or three times. They got their lives right with one another, totally forgave each other, and got pregnant right away. And so after all those years of struggling, when they got right with one another, their bodies moved into the positions where they can have a child, because all that stormy anger and all that was preventing their bodies from being able to function the way they should. Well, we had this big revival at the ASU, the Convention Center, and they had the baby. They sent me the card, told me they had the baby. They were thanking me as if I had given them the baby almost. And so I said, well, praise God, that's wonderful. So I was sitting up there with my church at that time. I was at another church. And they saw me across the Coliseum there, and they started coming, holding up this baby. They got halfway, and she said, look at what you did. And so I thought, I stood up and I said, I promise you I didn't do that. You know. And so it sounded like, but they gave me credit for it. And the idea is this, their physical bodies got in the right union with one another when they got right with God and was able to begin to serve God in an acceptable way. So what you must do when you present your body to God is you've got to learn to not be conformed to this world. When he says, I beg you to present your body as a living sacrifice and be not conformed to the world. What that means is the world has their ideology, they have their philosophy, they have what they believe about marriage, about same-sex marriage, about life and all these kind of things. He's saying, don't you think the way the world thinks. Don't let yourself adopt the philosophies, the vain imaginings like evolution, for example. There's no scientific proof of evolution at all. There's none. Absolutely none. You cannot prove evolution by any means, but the world says that's the way it happened. God says it was by creation that God created that. Which one do you want to believe, Rick? Oh, well, yeah. It's a done deal for you, isn't it? But see, that's a vain imagination out of humanism that we could get along without God. As a matter of fact, we didn't even need God to be come into existence. We created ourselves. We crawled out of a pool of slush sometime or other. We got a little bit more, then finally we became who I am today, the happy, intelligent man that stands before you. And I did it all my way. That's how vain and unimaginative and crazy is the world's way of thinking. So he says, don't you be conformed to the world and the way the world thinks. So and the world thinks about the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. This is what the world offers us. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, these are not of God. And the Bible says, he that loves the world, the love of God is not in him. Now what this means is this, the more that you crave the things of this world, the less the love of God is seen in your life. When you get so caught up in the world, nobody ever sees God in you. Neither do you feel the love of God anymore in you. Because when you are captivated by the world, it's got you. And God doesn't have you. You've given yourself to the world. When you give yourself to the world, you push God out of your life more and more. And the Bible says this and so clearly in 1 John 2:15, whatsoever is of the world is not of God, neither is the love of God in that person who has accepted the love of the world instead of the love of God. They are mutually exclusive. So he says that you are going to resist being conformed to this world. But then he says, but be transformed. So the two things are presenting your body to God as a living sacrifice that you will have to shut the world out in order to do that. You'll have to stand against the world. The Apostle Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What he was saying is this, the world, I don't want to be worldly. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to have everything that the world has. I want what God has. The world is crucified to me. I don't want it anymore. And I am crucified to the world. When Tom Davis and I were growing up, we were worldly young men. And the world attracted us. We went for it, didn't we, Tom? To whatever degree crazy Truman boys go for the world, we were heading for it, you know. And the world liked me. I was well liked by the other worldly boys in Truman, Arkansas. I was a leader among them, you might say. And so, and when I came in a place, they were attracted to me. And we joked and partied and had a big time. And I remember when I gave my life to Christ, it began to change differently. And I shared that with some of my very best friends. They turned around and walked away from me and didn't want to be around me anymore. And they were not. One of them, Jim Davis, who was with us for so long and died a few years ago and became a leader here, we had no fellowship for over 20 years. And he was one of our best friends, was he, John? I loved him, Jim, all of our lives. But as soon as I began to live an unworldly life, and he went on, I remember he looked at me and he said, "You're kidding, aren't you?" And I said, "No." We were standing on the sidewalk in Main Street in Truman. I said, "No, Jim." He said, "We want to get together and party tonight, and we wanted you to come." And I said, "No, I'm not. I've changed. I've given my life to Christ." He said, "Are you kidding?" He looked at me and he said, "Well, brother, that's not me." And I said, "No, I know it's not, but I'm just telling you, I can't come. And I can't anymore." And he said, "Well, I'll see you around, James." And for 20 years, we didn't talk. And every time I'd see him, it would be just very little. When I came back from Vietnam, he called me up and he said, "Hey, you want to get together?" And I said, "No, I don't think so, Jim." And so he said, "Okay, just checking." And so, but after 20 years had passed, he got saved. He got saved. Yes, amen. And he couldn't stop being around me enough. He was here every Sunday, sitting right up here for years. And then he moved back over here and sat there, became a leader at our church. What had happened? All of a sudden, we were in the same kingdom. And so the world, we both got out of the world, and we were together again in our hearts and spirits. And I got to bury him. I remember he, about 3 years before he died, he said, "Hey, James, I don't know who's going to go before. If you'll go before me or me before you, but I want to, you to understand this. When I die, I want you to preach my funeral." And I got to do that. And so what I'm saying is, Paul says that I don't care anything about the world anymore, and it doesn't care anything about me. And so when you really present your body as a living sacrifice, your worldly friends will not want to be around you. They'll withdraw from you. They might still love you in a way, but they know that they don't have the same spirit with you. They don't have that common denominator. Now, here's what's involved in renewing the mind. You have a long-winded pastor. I apologize for that, but I'm not going to get to finish this sermon, but I'll give you the outline for the rest of it, okay? Here's what's involved in renewing your mind. Now, I want you to look at your partner, friend, and say, "You know something's wrong with your mind, so please listen." Okay, so everybody put them on warning. You know? Now, what's wrong with their mind is that in our own minds, we have our own thoughts. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." Hey, when people have marriage problems, it's because one or both of them are trying to get their own thoughts across to the other one and not the thoughts of God for each other. The thoughts of God for each other, when two people are in harmonious will of God together, they don't fuss and gripe and get disappointed all the time and resentful all the time and all, because those thoughts, their thoughts have come under the headship and lordship of God. So what you have to do is renew your mind through three ways. The first one is exposing your mind to the Word of God. If you don't expose your mind on a daily basis, a consistent basis, to the Word of God, you're going to start thinking the way the world thinks, because the world listens. I mean, the mind takes in thousands and ten thousands of thoughts every day, And most of those are coming to you from the world system. You see them on the signs that you see. You turn on the TV and all these thoughts are coming to you through the program that's in the television. You talk to people, you hear things, and you see things around you that are tempting often. And all of these thoughts are coming into your mind, and your mind is analyzing them all. It's amazing. Do you know what they have proven? That the mind is able to store every experience that you have ever had and remember it, and it's stored somewhere in you. And it can be brought up through hypnosis and through the power of associative thoughts and different ways you think about things. How many of you sometimes have thought about something you totally forgot, but all of a sudden it came back to you somehow, and through a process of association of thoughts or whatever. But anyway, if you just let your mind be filled up with all the things that's coming into you without having exposure to the Word of God on a regular basis, you're not going to be transformed. You have to have your mind exposed to the Word of God. The Bible says it this way. Man cannot live by bread alone. He's got to have some peanut butter on it. I've heard a guy say that before, but it's not what he's talking about. Man shall not have bread, live by bread alone, but by what, Brother Led? By every word of God. So, I mean, we have got to be exposed to the Word of God. And that's what you're doing now, is exposing yourself to the Word of God through a preaching experience. You can expose yourself to the Word of God through reading your Bible every day. You can listen to good preaching and teaching on the radio. And you can hear God's Word. But you've got to get it in you. It's got to get into your mind. I'll just mention these three things and then close the service, because I need to exploit these three things and I need to expand on them. But you have to expose your mind to the Word of God. And then here's where faith comes in, like Brother Mark was talking about earlier. You have to choose to believe what God has said and accept it as the truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man, what, Mary? Every man a liar. What does that mean? It means when God says something in the Bible, even if you don't understand it, and if you don't believe it, you don't think it's possible, you are not the one that makes up what truth is. God is. The Bible says God's word is truth, no matter what men say about it. So the Bible says, let God be true, and let every other person who doesn't think that's right be a liar. In other words, if I don't believe what God says, and I say that's true what I believe, I'm a liar. So when we hear God's word, expose ourselves to it, we have to choose to believe it. Now, when you choose to believe it, you still may not understand it, and it may not make sense to you, but you're choosing to believe what God says is true, and God really likes that. How many of your kids have you told them to do something and they didn't think it was true? They didn't think they should. Any of you young men like to raise your hands back there on the back, you know, and you say you disagree with your mom and dad, you disagree, shouldn't do that. When I was a teenager, dad would tell me to do things. I'd tell him I'd do them, but in my mind, I said, I'm not going to do that. As soon as his back is turned, I was just like you. And I did what I thought was right for me. But the truth is right for everybody. What God says is true is right for everybody, because he's the one that invented truth. As a matter of fact, he is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was saying, I don't care what you believe, this is the way it is. So you expose yourself to the Word of God, and you believe it. You choose to believe it, and then I'm just giving you the outline for it next Sunday. Then you have to act on it. If you don't do what God says, you are not going to be transformed. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice and say, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to choose my own thing. I'm going to give myself to you as a sacrifice. Whatever you tell me to do, you can do it through me. Then you expose your mind to the Word of God like you're doing today and start reading your Bible every day and start studying it. Be a student of the Word of God. And let your mind be challenged by what God says. He tells you exactly what to do about everything in your life, and then start doing it. And when you do those three things, you will find a transformation that takes place in your life that changes you so much that people won't even recognize you, actually. Carol and I, when we got married, we were married about, I don't know how many years, maybe 10 years or something like that, 7 or 8 years. There were some people that, you know, we hadn't seen in many times. And I remember we were working at the college, at Southern Baptist College. And so one of our friends that we ran around with when we were teenagers and dated, double dated, things like that, she married the guy she was dating, and Carol and I got married, and then we got separated. I went to the service, and we came back, and we started living for God. And so somebody said, James Strait is a preacher now. She said, say what? What? I don't believe that. I didn't know that this happened, but later we found out this is what happened. She said, I can't believe that he is a preacher. And so I said, yeah, he's working over at Southern Baptist College. They're over there, and they've been there for a couple of years. She said, well, I'm going over there and check that out. So she called Carolyn up and said, hey, what y'all doing? You know, her and her husband had gotten a divorce, and her love was gone, and they were separated. So she said, well, I'd like to just connect with you guys. And so Carolyn said, okay, well, why don't you come over and have lunch with us? So I took a couple hours off for lunch, and we came home, and we had Tanya and Brandon, and Caleb wasn't born at this time. And so we got at the table there, and she was having a good time and talking with us and everything. We were catching up, and we'd been there about an hour, and the kids were in our laps and doing things. And she sat at the end of the table, and she said, I'm miserable. And she busted out crying. And she said, you all are really happy. She said, I came over here because I didn't believe the change that I heard. And she said, you don't even look like the same couple. You don't sound like the same couple. She said, I'm so miserable in my life. And she said, I see that y'all are finally happy. And we shared Christ with her that Sunday. Here's what I'm saying. When you're giving yourself to God, and we do this, how many of you have done what I said, what I've been preaching about, but you've taken it back? And then maybe you do it, and then you take it back. And then maybe you do it again, and you take it back. God wants you to do it and never take it back. Give your bodies to Him. Expose your mind to His Word, and let Him revolutionize your life and give you a life that you really want. The life that God wants you to have. Let's bow our heads here together. Jesus said, I have come. The devil, Satan, has come not. The thief has come, but only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life. He didn't come to make us religious. He came to give us life. Abundantly, He said. A life that's overflowing with love and joy, peace and happiness, and goodness and good works and love that you can feel when you're with the people that you're loving. That's the life that God came to give. It's an eternal life. And it happens when it begins to happen when you repent of your sin and decide, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to make Him the Lord of my life. If you're willing to do that today, to begin your relationship with God who made you, then I want you to pray a prayer like this. It's as simple as this, but this is in line with the truth of what the Bible presents. You've got to repent of your sin. So pray, God, today I turn away from living for myself. Pray that. I'm turning away, and I'm turning to You. That's what repentance is, changing your mind about God and deciding to turn to Him. Now, you cannot live good enough to get saved. You've got to put your faith in Jesus. So say, Lord, today I trust You to save me and to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And today I make You the boss of my life, the Lord of my life. The Bible says if you will believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you will be saved. So would you confess Jesus as Lord this prayer today? I make you Lord of my life. If you're doing these three things today, would you lift your hand up in the air and hold it up for just a moment? Anybody making that decision today to follow Christ? And I guess that probably most everybody has, but maybe some of you have certainly taken your body back and you're living for yourself. Would you pray today, Lord, I'm asking you, I'm giving my body to you today, and I'm going to renew my mind. And I decide to begin it today, and I ask you to forgive me for not doing it in the past. But today I'm renewing that commitment. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Praise God. How encouraging that is. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, I'm just putting this message out there as best I know how. And Lord, I need to do this and renew myself. And so, Lord, I pray that all those who raise their hands, and along with myself and others that are thinking this way, God, use us. You could take one or two and use them in a great way. So I ask you, Lord, as we present our bodies to you today, that you would use us. Give us the opportunities to serve you, because we really love you. We really want to do that. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice in it. Brother Paul, would you offer our closing prayer, please?